Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 3. Okay, walk me through this one more time, Andrew said. He and Howard Bruce were sitting on the edge of the pier that had once housed the exploratorium. Under their feet, the bay splashed small waves against the wooden pillars, and the gulls screamed overhead. The summer sun was warm on their backs, and if the city hadn't been so quiet, Andrew might almost have believed it was a normal summer day. Below them, Feline emerged from the water, a fish in her mouth and another in her hand. She was naked but swam toward the ladder at the end of the pier, where her clothes lay in a pile. Howard sighed. I'm not sure what part is unclear to you. I've explained it all quite clearly for the past 20 minutes. All of it's unclear to me, damn it! You say that the timeline, for Christ's sake, like we're in some kind of science fiction movie, has been changed, and that it's not supposed to be like this. How can that be clear?
Sounds like you've grasped the concept pretty well, actually, Howard said. And as for science fiction, well, you're the one living with a half-cat, half-woman hybrid and who kills vampires on a daily basis.
That's... Andrew bit his lip. That's different. No, it isn't. You're just not seeing the big picture. Okay, so, say the timeline is screwed up. What do you want me to do? Step into my TARDIS and fix it?
In a manner of speaking. You see, the reason the timeline has altered is that your friend, Jim Corrigan, has done something in the past.
I don't know anyone named Jim Corrigan.
You used to, in the other timeline. In fact, you were friends and co-workers in an agency here in town, helping out people. You lived together for quite a while.
Live together, as in... Andrew said, raising an eyebrow. No, not that way. I'm sure there are timelines where you were attracted to men, but that one wasn't one of them. Okay, so we were friends. What did he do to make the change?
I don't know. You see, I allowed him to go back and see a part of his own life again, a time and place that would prove very crucial in the fate of the world as we know it. Jim became immortal back in 1933, you see.
Immortal? How?
Andrew suddenly sounded even more interested.
I made him immortal, but that's beside the point. The key is that to become immortal, Jim needed to be at a specific time and place, and he obviously wasn't. The timeline then altered accordingly. I thought I knew what it would be like without him. However, I wasn't prepared for this. Things have accelerated much faster than I anticipated.
What do you mean, accelerated?
The vampire uprising wasn't supposed to happen yet. Jim was supposed to stop it from happening. But I guess something else altered as well, because he wasn't here. His opposition, his nemesis, if we can use that word, must have moved faster than in the original, unaltered timeline.
Andrew rubbed his temple.
You're losing me here. Now you're saying there have been several timelines?
Yes. The original, unaltered one, where Jim Corrigan died in a random shooting in 1933, and where the vampires began to take power around the 2010s. The one I altered, where he woke up after his death, became immortal, and where he was supposed to stop his nemesis. And now this one, where the vampires already rule this country. When did it happen in this reality? Andrew thought about it.
Well, the vampire problem started in the late 30s, and that was mostly in the Midwest, Chicago and Minneapolis. It all began with the organized crime world, if I recall correctly, and sort of slowly spread to the normal population as it moved west. Gangs of vampires began running all sorts of criminal activities. Protection rackets, assassinations, that sort of thing. Sometimes local government fell under their control. It was like some hyped-up version of the mafia. When I grew up, it was always a thing that was present but never talked about. Kind of the elephant in the room. We couldn't go to certain places because there'd be vampires there, or a school would close down due to vampires attacking, so all the kids had to move to a new school. Eventually, the vamps began creating riots in various cities, and the government declared a national emergency. But they didn't decide to shut down California and Oregon until 10 years ago. There were talks of evacuations, but there was nowhere to go since the vamps had also been moving east and taking control of some of the cities on the East Coast. Most of California's living population fled north to Canada. So, the last few years, there's been no government and no real social structure in most of the USA. Although, from what I hear, Florida and Texas are doing remarkably well.
I see. Howard rubbed his chin, deep in thought. I wonder what made Maurice move faster in this timeline. Did he see some kind of advantage to it? It's hard to know the mind of a madman.
This Maurice, is he the nemesis you talked about? Some kind of uber vampire?
Yes. Jim was supposed to face him here in San Francisco this year, but before it could happen, I made the regrettable decision to summon him to me. I thought that perhaps I could steer him and his friends to the exact place they needed to go, give them a nudge in the right direction, so to speak. However, foolish as I was, I allowed him to engage me in a discussion about immortality and his late wife, and finally allowed him to go back and see for himself. Obviously, he was cleverer than me.
Since you're pretty much a god, that seems like a tall order.
Andrew couldn't keep the sarcasm out of his voice. Or maybe you're not quite as divine as you like to think. Howard looked like he had bit into a lemon. Very funny. Unfortunately, I'm not divine at all. A god would be all-knowing, and I am not. A god would be all-powerful, and although I might appear that way to you, there are limits to what I can do. My kind has been called gods before, because to a primitive man, we are indeed like gods. Yet what I simply am is an individual with more power than you, but who is now in the unique position of having to ask you for help. I need to clean up this mess and restore the timeline that had Jim alive in this day and age. But the problem is, I'm not allowed to go back and change things myself.
Why not?
Feline asked. She had heard the last few sentences as she approached them. Her wet hair stuck to her head, and the clothes she had put on were slightly damp. She sat down next to Andrew and began eating one of the fish.
Because, young lady, myself and my colleagues have a deal that we're not supposed to undo what the others do. My original alteration came as a result of a change someone else did, and that alteration created a new timeline. But now that it's been undone, I am not permitted to redo it. The rule is we can counter, but we can't alter, if you understand the difference.
Not really,
Feline shrugged.
I think I do, Andrew said. You can't get this guy Jim to go back and become immortal again by yourself, but you can ask us to do it for you, because then you're not changing things yourself, right? We are.
Exactly. I'm not taking active part in the alteration,
but merely allowing you to restore my original change. That's sticking to the words of the law instead of the spirit, but...
He gestured with his hand as if to say that would have to suffice.
But how do we get a hold of him? Andrew said. Can we contact him somehow in the past? Call him up on the time phone?
No. I will have to send you back there. But unlike when I sent him back, I can't just undo my own work and return you to your place at that time, because you two don't belong in that time. The good news is, of course, that because you don't belong, you won't be in two places at once and won't create any time paradoxes.
Okay, so say we do this. How do we get there?
Howard put his fingers in the shape of a pyramid and relaxed them. He seemed a little relieved they were now discussing the actual details of going back.
I will create a door.
What kind of door?
Feline said.
A door through time. A portal, if you will, allowing you to go back and forth if you need to. I've created such things before, although sometimes they don't work the way I intended them to. They move around in time if they're left open for too long.
Well, that's comforting.
Andrew took a drink from a bottle of water. They had brought the bike down to the dock with them, and Andrew had eaten one of his sandwiches while listening to Howard talking.
There's still something I don't understand, though. First of all, if this guy Jim was so pivotal to your grand plans, why the hell did you let him go back in the first place?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Howard scowled.
Because he insisted, I made a mistake.
A mistake?
Andrew laughed.
God admits a mistake. If the San Francisco Chronicle hadn't closed up shop long ago, I'd say that was a great headline for tomorrow.
I thought I knew how the original timeline would unfurl. I wasn't expecting something like this. Obviously, I would never have allowed him to undo my gift to him if I had known.
So, basically, you're asking us to clean up after your mess, then. That leads me to my other question. Why? Why us, and why should we help you?
Howard looked irritated again and pulled his fingers apart.
I came to you because in the other timeline, you two and Jim have worked together, and you are friends. That means, even if neither of you remember it, you will still have an easier time connecting with each other.
Yeah, but if we don't remember him, and he doesn't remember us, why would he listen to a thing we say?
Andrew said.
Won't we just be two funny-looking strangers trying to make him fall for the craziest story of the century?
You will have to do your best. There is also one other reason for me asking you, however. You have spent the past few years fighting against vampires, eventually settling in this city. You have saved many people, but there has been countless others who have died or been turned into undead. If Jim is brought back,
all this,
he gestured around to the empty city around them,
will cease to exist. You will have defeated the vampires, or at least brought back to having a chance of stopping this from happening. Think of all the dead people you could bring back to life that way. Think of how many you will have saved.
Andrew looked at Feline, who shrugged and put the last piece of fish in her mouth. She wiped her lips with the back of her hand.
I'm game,
she said.
I've never traveled in time before. It might be fun.
Okay,
Andrew said.
The young lady has spoken. Sounds like we're in. How do we go about this?
First of all, you will need different clothes. You won't exactly blend into Chicago in the 1930s wearing armor. Howard got to his feet. I can take care of that, however. Get on your feet, both of you.
Andrew and Feline stood up, and Howard raised one hand, snapped his fingers, and Andrew found himself wearing a white shirt, suspenders, bow tie, and gray pants. On his head was a flat, almost sixpence-style cap. Feline was dressed in a skirt and shirt, both blue, and a white, bell-shaped hat. Andrew lifted one hand to his head, feeling that his long hair was suddenly gone.
"Hey," he said, surprised. "You can't have your hair grown out where you are going. It would look out of place. Oh, and of course, you'll need coverings. It's the middle of winter."
Howard snapped again, and Feline and Andrew were now wearing heavy winter coats.
"How do we even know this guy Jim?" Andrew said. "I don't remember him, so I don't know what he looks like."
Howard sighed. There was something about his demeanor that made Andrew suspect he wasn't used to dealing with other people and their demands on a frequent basis.
"This is what he looks like," he said, producing a photograph, seemingly from nowhere. "The woman with him is his wife."
Andrew looked at the picture, showing two smiling people in front of the front door of a house. The man had his arm around the woman's shoulders, and his fedora hat was cocked back on his head.
"Handsome couple," he said.
"Very. But she is far from as virtuous as she appears to be. That was what Jim needed to find out for himself. However, his failure to return leads me to believe he hasn't. His address is on the back of the photo. Are you ready to go?"
"What about money?" Andrew said. "I mean, I'm not really the type to carry a lot of money, even before the vampires took over. And the money back then would have been very different."
Howard closed his eyes, and a roll of bills appeared in his palm. Without a word, he handed it over to Andrew.
"How do we get him back?" Feline asked. "Just drag him, kicking and screaming, through that portal thing, because I can do that." "No, I would prefer you didn't. He needs to die on the exact date I originally intended, which is December 6th, 1933. I'm sending you back to the day before."
"And what about afterward? I mean, if all of this works, what happens to the timeline? And to us? I've read enough science fiction in my time to know about paradoxes."
Andrew unbuttoned the heavy coat, which was very warm in the California sun.
"Will we just snap back to where we came from? Or will we cease to exist, and only the Andrew and Feline who's alive at that point will be left?"
Howard looked like he was considering his answer carefully.
"If Jim dies the way he's supposed to, the timeline should be restored to the timeline I originally intended. If you go back through the portal at any time before that happens, you will return here, to this time and place. However, if Jim dies, the future would be the restored timeline, and the portal would no longer work. As you say, that would create a paradox, because you would then be from a time that no longer exists. To be quite honest, I've never had anything like this happen before. But my best guess is that you would cease to exist. Perhaps your counterpart in the new timeline future would retain your memories, but I frankly don't know. It's even possible that you will go on living in 1933, peacefully and with no after effects. If that's the case, I would stay out of history's way if I were you. You would be a pair of walking, talking time paradoxes."
"So what you're saying is that it's either going back here and vanishing back in the past, or living in the past," Feline said. "Did I get that right?"
"It's not exactly your choice to make, but yes."
Howard looked impatient.
"Then let's try that last one, okay?"
Feline said, taking Andrew's arm.
"I don't like the idea of vanishing."
"Can you make that happen?" Andrew said. "If you're as divine as you claim, can you make sure we stay alive back then?"
Howard opened his mouth, closed it again,
and then nodded his head in agreement. I will do my best.
Okay, then I think we're ready.
Howard moved a few steps back from the dock, raised both hands, and spread them to the sides, palms out. In the air in front of him, something appeared, a shimmering, misty thing that looked a little like a shower curtain made of smoke blowing through an invisible door. Upon seeing it, something inside Andrew's mind stirred. He felt like he'd seen it before, only he couldn't remember where. Except he connected it with Native Americans? Could that be right?
It's ready,
Howard said, stepping back and gesturing toward the portal in front of him.
If you go through, you will appear in a non-conspicuous place, and the portal will remain at that location if you need to use it.
Andrew reached up, straightened the cap on top of his head, and looked at his girlfriend.
Okay, Feline. Let's go save the world.
They stepped through the portal, leaving Howard alone on the pier. He looked out over the bay, where the water shimmered in the sun. He didn't need to breathe as such, but he felt himself holding his breath now.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.